why we may not have any woman or any woman to be selected as a prophet or as an imam.
So but what is the exact status of these women as role models for both men and women? You know, this is mentioned. For example, Lady Maryam, Lady Asiya, Lady Fatima to Zahra. What is exactly their status now? Can we select any name for that?
Exactly, as you rightly mentioned, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in two verses of the Noble Book of Quran refers to two ladies as the role models, not only for women, but also for all men, for all believers. And for Lady Zahra salamullah alayha, of course, we know how great she is. I mean, she's not considered as one of the 12 imams. But no Shia can doubt that she is called the kuf of Imam Ali alayhi salam, meaning that if Imam Ali alayhi salam was not created, there was no man to be equal to Lady Zahra salamullah in terms of faith and spirituality, and vice versa. So in terms of spirituality, closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Lady Zahra salamullah alayha is like the other like Imam Ali alayhi salam and the Imams of the Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam. In one narration we read that Fatima kanat muhaddatha wa lam takun nabiyya. Lady Zahra salamun alayha was muhaddatha, and muhaddatha means, one of the meanings of this term is that a lady who received revelation, the angels come to her and talk to her, and that is why she is called muhaddatha, but wa lam takun nabiyya, she was not a prophet. This is in Bahar al-Anwar by Allama Majlisi, volume 26, page 791.
So in this way, no woman can also be an imam of a prayer or salat too, isn't it? Because nowadays we see that, for example, some of the Muslim sects, they choose a woman as an imam leading a prayer. Are they the same or not?
Of course, the level is different. Mm-hmm. We know that to lead a prayer is much easier than leading a community, yes, a nation. When it comes to Islamic laws, according to Shia jurisprudence, women cannot lead a prayer for men. But when it comes for women, there are differences of ideas among the Shia scholars. But unfortunately, as you rightly mentioned, we have some... It's not only about physical structure or power. We have another issue, which is the chastity of women, which should be preserved. So in some cases, ladies are exempted from some actions because of their chastity. So for example, when it comes to jihad, we know that jihad is only a responsibility for men and not for women. It is regarding the physical power of women. So it has nothing to do with a kind of deficiency in women. As I mentioned, when it comes to emotional issues, women are expected to act upon such responsibilities. Is it a deficiency for men? No. I mean, this is a difference in the structure of men and women, and I believe that no one can ignore that. No one can deny that. Even those people who try to call themselves feminists and try to call for kind of what they call it, equality and justice between men and women. At the end of the day, they cannot claim that men and women are like each other in everything, including emotions, physical power, and so on and so forth. Okay. All agree that there are differences, and Islam has made some slight differences in Islamic laws because of such differences.
And we know that because of the, as you said, there are some exceptions for women, for example, monthly period or menstruation, you know, and all these cases that are related specifically to the women might act as an obstacle in the religious cases, because according to Islamic laws, you know, when a woman is in the bad times of the month, you know, she is not allowed to fast or pray or something like that. At least it is an obstacle, isn't
it? Yeah, that's the point.
Thank you very much, Sheikh, for a nice elaboration. Why no woman has been selected as a prophet or imam during the history of Islam? It was very kind of you.
My pleasure.
Thank you much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of the program, Question and Answer on Islamic Beliefs. For more information, visit our website at parstoday.ir, Call of Islam page. Till another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanallah.
Inna fil jannati nahran min labani Ali wa Hussein wa Hassan. لعلي وحسين وحسان. إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن, إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن, لعلي وحسين وحسن, لعلي وحسين وحسن. كل من كان محبا لهم, كل من كان محبا لهم, يدخل الجنة من غير حزن, يدخل الجنة من غير حزن. إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن, إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن, لعلي وحسين وحسن.
A diverse range of programs. Spirituality. Youth. Eastern Tales. Roundtable discussions. Culture. Politics. All produced by IRIB English Radio.
Start.
Movement.
Speed.
Live in hope.
Toward the peak.
On Youth Station.
I am a Muslim.
I am a Muslim.
Islamite.
Islamite.
Allah my Lord.
Allah my Lord.
His word Quran.
His word Quran.
Muhammad Prophet.
Muhammad Prophet.
Praise be upon.
Praise be upon.
I am Muslim for all.
Assalamu alaikum. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. This is Youth Station. Choo choo ka choo. It's the Youth Station for you. I'm the only one who apparently says this slogan. Yeah. Now, I would like you guys out there to send emails to IRIB English Radio and demand to hear why the other presenters do not present this show
with that slogan. It's a trademark
slogan. It's just awful.
By the first verse of the Holy Quran.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
Allah will bless you.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
Protect you.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
Help you.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
So ask His blessings.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
His protection.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
His help.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
I've been to so many conversations about freedom that I start questioning what exactly is freedom. What you talk about freedom? What do you really mean?
Oh no, you didn't.
Really?
You are not allowed to do that.
Why?
I'm restricting your freedom to question what freedom is.
It's a really serious question. You talk about you bring up slogans about freedom, and let me tell you a story about. Let me tell you something that many people don't really think about. Google freedom and click on the images section. What do you see?
Statue of Liberty.
Statue of Liberty, and then it's always a woman standing up on a beach wearing thin clothing with the arms up in the air, right, and a breeze blowing against it.
All right, I'm doing it right now on my phone.
Yeah. Even if you look in the stock images, not only Google, stock
images.
Oh
my God, you're right.
Everything about arms open, breeze blowing against
you. I was not expecting that. You actually see a woman on a beach and then
she's
like... Always,
that's how it is. Freedom is essentially just don't think about yourself.
Yeah,
that's how it's portrayed. Now, what is freedom? Decide. conceptualize, perceive. Tell me, what do you think? Is open arms and a woman, is that the meaning of freedom? Is that how you picturize freedom?
How do I picture? By the way, I just want to point this out. You went totally deep into this. I was not thinking about the Western perspective of freedom at all.
Oh, that's exactly.
I was asking you as a Muslim, like whether you feel free, like spiritually.
I feel free. And,
yeah, yeah. No. That's the problem, though. When
I'm
you're discussing,
free. I'm extremely free when you look into that. When you look at from that perspective.
Are you though? Well, I want to circle back to that, but. This is the problem when you're having a discussion with anybody in today's day age, right? You cannot say even the most basic things without somebody having, I don't want to say a chip on your shoulder because you clearly don't, right? But because of the constant aggravation and the misrepresentation of certain terms, yeah. like freedom, yeah. you can't discuss anything
you
with
have
anybody.
To come back.
You
say, okay, hold on, brother. Yeah. Before we continue, yeah,
exactly.
Let's just draw some lines. What do you mean by freedom?
Yeah.
That's the problem we had. Like when I was in high school, we'd fight up on things that we haven't established a grounds upon. Mm. No common grounds. Mm-hmm. Like, one of them is freedom. Like, I can't tell you how many times I've heard people, like, when the teacher tells them some simple thing like, you have to do your homework, aren't we free?
Oh, God. No, you're not. You're free to obey. Okay, that's the end of it. But no, go on. Tell me, what was the definition that you arrived at?
See, freedom, in my definition, how I would perceive freedom, is when someone is able to make his own or her own choices. That's freedom. Not being influenced by the bad actors out there.
Okay.
That's freedom.
So it's somebody having the ability to make their own choices.
Yeah. Not having bad act without the influence of the bad actors out there. Because you see, people having the ability to make choices, then you're seeing that persons who are being indoctrinated by the media in the West are also free because they're making their own choices, for God's sake. If a person is wearing that kind of clothing, they're wearing because of their own choice. But if you look at the reality, it's not their own choice.
No, it's not their own choice at all. They've
influenced
been completely
by the bad actors
indoctrinated.
So I'm trying to say that if you talk about freedom, it's just not freedom of choice. Freedom of choice plus.
I like that definition. Yeah. That makes a lot of sense because some people, you know, you hold a gun to their head and you tell them to eat this poison, for example.
Exactly.
Otherwise, I'm going to shoot you.
Yeah.
Now, that person has actually eaten the poison themselves.
Yeah, it's their own choice
They made the choice, right?
Yeah.
But that choice was influenced by fear.
Exactly.
And in the same way, people's choices can be influenced by pleasure, shahwa,
exactly.
on the other side, right? Yeah. People's decisions can be affected by or influenced by anger, all sorts of things. That's not real freedom.
Yeah. That's why in Islam, you mentioned anger. It was so. I remembered this in the ahkam, or for example, divorce.
Mm.
You know, a divorce is not valid if it's done through anger.
Yeah.
If
yeah.
you're angry and you're like, I divorce you, for example, God forbid, God never, inshallah, brings that situation to anyone. But if someone says that divorce is invalid.
Yeah.
That person is still your wife.
Yeah.
That's how important it is when it comes to freedom of choice in Islam. It shouldn't be influenced by anything, any bad actors out there, even within yourself.
Yeah.
If for example, beating kids while you're angry, it's not allowed.
It's not allowed.
Yeah. You know, beating kids, right? There is ahkam for that.
Yeah.
Adib. You know, you can beat the kids under some circumstances to do adab of them.
Mm.
When you beat them, you're not the color of the skin should not change.
Right.
There's so
the
many ahkam.
It, yeah.
And one of the conditions is you must make sure that you're not in an angry state.
Yeah, that makes total
because
sense.
Because it's your choice. You're free, but you're under influence of anger.
Yeah, and the devil takes over when you're angry.
Yeah,
there's no
exactly. That's like the perfect opportunity for the devil. Mm. Let's have a break and we'll be back soon with this same freedom that we have.
In the name of God, the most gracious, the most merciful. A similar favor have you already received in that we have sent among you a messenger of your own, rehearsing to you our signs, purifying you, and instructing you in scripture and wisdom, and in new knowledge. Then do you remember me? I will remember you. Be grateful to me and do not reject faith.
You can always tell when Allah remembers you. Just remember Allah, that's all you have to do. All you have to do to have Allah remember you is just remember Allah, Jalla Jalalahu.
Vicar is reflection that brings Allah's protection, puts you in the right direction to love Allah.
You can always tell when Allah remembers you, just remember Allah, that's all you have to do. All you have to do to have Allah remember you is just remember Allah, Jalla Jalalahu.
Okay, we're back and free as ever. We're talking about freedom, and we mentioned that we kind of established the definition of freedom. Now, let me ask a question back to Brother Muzaffar. Mm. Are you free?
Oh, no. You didn't answer it, man. No, but I want to come to that. But first, let me just quickly say this, that look, it's so interesting that if you look at the, because we said that, you know, these pictures of these women on beaches and blah, 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 and that whole Western perception of freedom is as a result of the entire society being indoctrinated. Mm-hmm. They are completely indoctrinated. Exactly.
Even these pictures of freedom, they're indoctrination. Sometimes.
They are forms of indoctrination. Yeah.
Whenever right? you see freedom and you see this picture, it's like saying in the media, whenever you see terrorists, you see a Muslim. They don't tell you all Muslims are terrorists, yeah. but then whenever you see some terrorizing, so it could be a Muslim or it yeah. could not be.
But let's take this to the, because we said that your perceived freedom, if it's being influenced by your pleasures or your fears, that is not actually freedom,
yeah.
right? If we've established that as a premise, then just take a look at advertising in the West, you mm-hmm. know? They're not selling you toothbrush. They're selling you a way to save yourself, because if your teeth are not white enough, you won't get anybody to like you, nobody will love you anymore, and then you will die alone.
you know, that's an extreme example.
Right, no, but that's what's happening in the subconscious mind. It is an advertising, a commercial society, which is run through fear. Go and get an alarm system for your house, because otherwise you're going to get robbed. Yeah. You must have this kind of savings in the bank for when disaster strikes.
Insurance.
Insurance is such a good example, yeah. right? Fear, 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 fear. And at the end of it, what do you say? I'm free.
Yeah. Plus, let's talk about pleasure now.
Ah, yeah.
You see, you'd be surprised. I was in, I don't know which... where I was, I can't remember. But then I saw this magazine made by BMW. And I kid you not, it wasn't a BMW advertisement. It was a woman advertisement.
Yeah, you didn't have to tell me that.
Car. It's beautiful in its own, but then why do you have to bring a woman to stand up in front of the vehicle?
Ahmed Didat, the famous speaker,
yeah.
he said it the best, right?
yeah, I think I remember it from him. Now I remember it, yeah.
He said that he saw this advertisement for a car, and then there's a you know, a promiscuous woman in front of it, and then the tagline says, test drive now. Okay, now...
So fear and pleasure.
Yeah, fear and pleasure. It's all about fear and pleasure.
We are
kind of like rats, you know, lab rats who are being tested on. The society has become like that. You know, when they... Mm-hmm. There's some really, really disturbing experiments that have been done. And they've actually extrapolated from those experiments where society is headed.
Yeah.
So they did all sorts of things with a community of mice or rats. And basically, they gave them a surplus amount of everything they could possibly ever want. And they did other things.
The population decreased and they eventually died. I remember hearing this.
Man, no, not only that. Some of the population became homosexual. Some of them became really pretty. They were just concerned only with beautifying themselves, really vain, you know, creatures. Others were very, very violent and hostile. They started to eat the other children, like all sorts of things that you actually see happening in modern society today. You know, and when you look around, you can see it. When you see the advertisements, when you see what is coming up on your phone, when you're scrolling and, you know, that you're completely surrounded by it.
So are you implying that if we don't have enough facilities...
No. I don't want to delve into that. I just want to come to the idea that we are not free. This is not freedom. This is actually a manipulation.
This is IRIB English Radio. You are listening to Youth Station.
Which society is free? Just even if it doesn't exist now, give me a hypothetical example.
A society where there is no pain. A society where you are not compelled to give up your life savings. So
yeah,
that
but
you
then
can,
that's essentially you're asking for death because
you're asking
to
for
be
what?
Honest. You're asking for death because, to be honest, you're here to be tested. لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. There's good and bad. There's pain and fear. There is pleasure and lust. Everything in this world, but you're being tested. So when you say a free society, meaning that a society that is outside of this world, that doesn't exist, that cannot exist.
No. There is a society that can exist. It is a utopian society, not perhaps in the way that utopia has been defined so far, but it definitely does exist because we believe in the Zuhur of Imam Zaman and we believe that thereafter there is going to be no poverty and that science and knowledge
is going
to reach...
But then would Shaitan just sleep after the...
No, of course not. Because
so there is going to be pleasure,
whatever. Definitely, but it's going to be in a predominantly just world and it's going to take
justice.
A completely different shape. For example, right now the struggle is for a girl growing up whether she should grow up to sell herself or not.
Mm-hmm,
right.
Yeah.
In that future, the test will be whether I should study in order to improve society or should I study for my nafs. You know, a girl will be in that state and that will be her test. You know, so they're both being tested. It's just going to be it's going to take completely different shapes. But we have to end the show now. So you have to tell me if you're free or not.
If I'm free or not, with the perception that I have. I think I'm relatively free.
I'm not free. I hope to one day, inshallah, be free in the true Islamic sense.
Inshallah.
I think I opened the show. That's all we have time for today, inshallah. If we do follow the footsteps and the guidance of the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, and we connect ourselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the source of all pleasures, or the source of all knowledge, the source of infinity, we will inshallah find ourselves free. Like hur, free,
exactly.
Inshallah. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Limelight. Tens of thousands of young British doctors say they're out of work, in debt, and pushed to the brink by the rising cost of living crisis. We take a look at some of the world press and media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. Associated Press has covered this story and tells us more. Thousands of protesters marched through London to the British Prime Minister's residence on Saturday, 11th of March, to support healthcare workers who have held a series of strikes over pay and conditions in the state-funded National Health Service, the NHS. Almost 40,000 junior doctors, who formed the backbone of hospital care, are due to walk out across England in the coming days. NHS England said the doctor's strike would be even more disruptive than recent walkouts by nurses and ambulance staff. The NHS said it would prioritise resources to protect emergency and critical care, maternity care, and where possible, prioritise patients who have waited the longest for elective care and cancer surgery. But thousands of appointments and procedures will be cancelled due to the 72-hour strike. A wave of strikes had disrupted Britain's lives for months as workers demand pay rises to keep pace with double-digit inflation. As well as healthcare workers, teachers, train drivers, airport baggage handlers, border staff, driving examiners, bus drivers and postal workers have all walked off their jobs to demand higher pay. Britain's annual inflation rate was 10.1% in January, down from a November peak of 11.1%, but still at a 40-year high. The Conservative government claims that giving public sector staff pay increases of 10% or more would drive inflation even higher. UK officials claim there have been recent signs of progress towards ending the disputes. Nurses, midwives, physiotherapists and ambulance staff recently called off planned strikes to hold pay negotiations with the government. Britain's Health Secretary Steve Barclay said he would hold talks with junior doctors' representatives if they agreed to call off their walkout. Steve Barclay said on Twitter, "Let's have a constructive dialogue to make the NHS a better place to work and ensure we deliver the care patients need." But the doctors' union, the British Medical Association, said there had not been any credible negotiations and a strike would start in the coming days. British newsreader The Guardian has also covered this story and tells us more. A top British doctor warned on Saturday, 11th of March, the upcoming strike by junior doctors will lead to unprecedented major disruption of the NHS and affect thousands of patients' care. Many hospitals in England have already postponed outpatient appointments or non-urgent operations ahead of the stoppage in the coming days. NHS England said the walkout by 61,000 junior doctors will have a bigger impact than any of the strikes held since December by nurses, ambulance staff and physiotherapists. It said the action is expected to see some of the most severe strike disruption of NHS services to date and have a huge impact on the drive to reduce waiting lists for elective care. The British Medical Association, the BMA, the doctors' union, has designed this first of a threatened series of strikes by junior doctors over pay to be as impactful as possible, as a warning shot to ministers. It is seeking full pay restoration for the 26.2% fall in the real terms value of trainee doctors' pay it calculates they have experienced since 2008-2009. The co-chair of the British Medical Association's Junior Doctors Committee told Prime Minister Rishi Sunak in a letter recently, newly qualified doctors start their careers in the NHS earning just £14 an hour. Campaigning junior doctors have been highlighting on social media that some barristers earn the same or more. Professor Sir Stephen Powis, NHS England's medical director, said the service had been working very hard to try to mitigate the impact of the walkout. But he added, "While we're doing what we can to avoid having to reschedule appointments, there's no doubt that disruption will be much more severe than before, and patients who have been waiting for some time will face postponements across many treatment areas." NHS bosses have warned Jeremy Hunt, the Chancellor of the Exchequer, that it will remain stuck in perpetual crisis management unless he agrees to fund a massive expansion of homegrown doctors and nurses. The NHS Confederation, which represents health service trusts, has written to Chancellor Jeremy Hunt asking him to rebut reports this week that the Treasury is seeking to water down targets in the forthcoming and long-awaited NHS workforce strategy. The plan had aimed to train much larger numbers of healthcare professionals to tackle the massive staff shortages facing the service, which has 124,000 vacancies. As the chair of the Commons Health Select Committee last year, Jeremy Hunt, who was Health Secretary for 6 years, argued strongly for the Treasury to commit to publishing regular independent assessments of the number of staff the NHS needs and to expand training places to provide more recruits. One senior NHS source said that now he is the Chancellor, Jeremy Hunt is arguing that the government should not agree to such commitments which would cost billions of pounds a year to fulfil. Reuters news agency has also covered this story and tells us more. Unions say wages, especially in the public sector, have fallen in real terms over the past decade, and a cost-of-living crisis fueled by sharply rising food and energy prices has left many struggling to pay their bills. A leading business company has revealed more than 70% of UK households fear they will be severely hit by the cost of living crisis in the first part of 2023, up from 54% at the end of last year. Survey data from market researcher Nielsen IQ showed recently that rising inflation and deteriorating economic situation have weighed more pressure on Britons during the first months of 2023, disappointing the majority of households about the country's economic future. Market researcher Nielsen IQ reported that UK grocery sales on a value basis rose by 7.6% in the first 4 weeks of 2023, due to an increase in food price inflation to 13.8%. However, volume sales fell by 6.9%, reflecting the unprecedented deepening of the cost of living crisis. The damning report came on the heels of another survey which revealed that one in five British adults turned to eating food past its use-by date or consuming smaller portions this winter. According to the published figures by the Office for National Statistics, the ONS, 18% of adults across Britain either used out-of-date food due to the rising cost of groceries. The rates were even higher among those with depression, diabetes or dependent children. After a tough 2022, British consumers have been grappling with an even tighter squeeze on their finances this year, with the inflation rate running at 10.1% and a looming recession. The skyrocketing prices caused by the surging inflation have prompted many labour forces across the country to stage strikes and protests to air their concerns about economic challenges in the face of intensified cost-of-living crisis.
This is A to Z. An introduction into an Islamic lifestyle. Today's lesson, the importance of work. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In today's lesson, we will talk about the importance of the work. In the narrations and the Islamic teachings, we find that working is an important thing, and it's an important part of the human life. It is the important part of the life of a Muslim, and Allah has emphasized on it. There are many narrations in the sayings of the Prophet. There are many verses that talks about the agriculture, the fields, working with the hand, and there are different ranks for the people who work. And on top of that, when we look at the narrations about the work, we see that out of seven narrations, there is one that talks that you should become an employee, and the rest of the six narrations talks about the trades or your own work. Whereas, unfortunately, in the Muslim society, we see that most of us are striving for getting some employment at a place and we do not strive for having our own business, whereas Islam emphasizes on self-business. The reason is that we need to be very much careful when we are working for some issues. For example, when we talk about the halal sustenance and haram sustenance, if someone is working at a place and he does not pay attention towards his personal actions or personal things that he is performing, if he does not pay attention towards that while working, then might be his sustenance becomes haram because he does not have permission from his boss or the company where he's working to spend the work time for his personal, we can say, deeds or for his personal matters. Therefore, we need to be very much careful in this case. Welcome back. You're listening to A to Z from IRB English Radio. We were talking about the importance of the work, and we said a person must be careful about his actions while he's performing. Now, the reason we provided that we should do our own business, and Islam also emphasizes on having a self-business, it is because that when you have your own business, no matter you do your private matters, you deal with your private matters or the business, because you're the owner of the business, then obviously you're not taking someone's right. You're not basically ruining someone's right. So it's your own business. So whatever you bow, you will have tomorrow the same thing that you have basically invested on. So the amount of investment of time, of money, of we can say like the power that you spend there, the time, the intellect that you use, obviously you will have the fruits of the same investment later. Therefore, we must be careful while we are working. And those who compare working with the prey, remember that work itself, if you're doing it for halal sustenance, it becomes the part of worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is as a person is praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have a story that a person who was extremely perplexed man visited Imam Jafar Sadiq and he begged him to pray that Allah would increase his sustenance and reveal him from of all financial stresses. The Imam answered that I shall certainly not pray for you. The poor man asked him, but why not? What have I done? Imam replied, you know perfectly well that Allah has devised means and ways of attaining prosperity. He has ordered you to leave your house and earn a living through hard work. You refuse to obey the law and foolishly hope praying for you will bring you prosperity. So we need to be very much careful because sometimes we think that with shortcuts we can earn more. That is not the way. The way is work hard and get the right sustenance which is there from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for you, inshallah. Thanks for listening. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
IRIB English Radio. Our website is parsetoday.ir.
You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir.
IRIB English Radio, a window to peace of mind and spirituality.
you can tune in to RIB English Radio 24 hours a day. We are with you. Are you with us? Are you with us? Are you with us? This is our voice from the heart of the Islamic Republic of Iran, RIB English Radio.
ایمان را در خودتون تقویت بکنید، ایمانی که هم در اینجا شما را شرافتمند می کند و هم در پیشگاه حق آبرو دارید و با آبرومندی وارد می شید به تخت اعلی.
In the path of the Imam.
In the name of God, salam and welcome to the program. Dear listeners, if you remember, in the previous episode, we discussed the sorrowful event of Imam Khomeini's departure from the mortal world. You heard that the Imam's conditions kept deteriorating and the family, especially his wife, Ms. Saghafi, had prepared herself for the unbelievable event of losing the Imam. Anyhow, the great leader of the Islamic Ummah and the hope of the oppressed and downtrodden all over the world passed away on June 3, 1989. Today, we are going to speak about the glorious farewell and funeral of the Iranian nation for their beloved leader and the announcement of Ayatollah Khamenei as his successor. Stay tuned, please. The announcement of Imam Khomeini's passing away on radio was the most sorrowful and shocking news in the history of Iran. The news plunged the whole country in grief, and everyone rushed to Tehran to bid farewell to the Imam and take part in his funeral. Innumerable masses of people flocked to Jamaran, the residence of Imam Khomeini, to extend their condolences to his family. Lady Saghafi saw off Imam Khomeini's body for some distance and then returned home as she had a serious backache and couldn't move much. Over 10 million people had come to Behesht-e-Zahra Cemetery to bid farewell to their beloved leader and bury him in his last abode. But due to the massive participation of people, the burial was delayed for 3 days. Many observers maintain that Imam Khomeini's funeral was the most populated gathering of people ever in history. On the eve of this sad event, many officials gathered at the Imam's house to make decisions on the issues ahead. Many of them were worried about the likely chaos after the passing away of the Imam. Thus, they suggested not broadcasting the news to avoid chaos and imbroglio in the country. But his son, Haj Ahmad, was opposed to the suggestion and stressed that the Imam's family should be honest with people. Therefore, the news was broadcast early next morning and the government announced a week of public holiday, and the heads of 3 branches announced 40 days of public mourning. Imam Khomeini's grave was determined near Behesht-e-Zahra Cemetery, and it was decided to provide a special place at Tehran's Musalla for people to bid farewell to the Imam's pure body. One day later, One of the great sources of emulation, Grand Ayatollah Golpaygani, performed prayer for the Imam's body and the preparations of burial were made. But the million-strong masses of people failed the officials to handle the ceremony. However, Imam Khomeini was buried on June 5th, plunging the hearts of innumerable masses of lovers in Iran and across the world in profound grief. As it is clear from the videos of the ceremony, the 10 million-strong crowd made it impossible for the helicopter carrying the Imam's body to land. This was repeated several times till Imam Khomeini's pure body was buried in his last abode. The news of Imam Khomeini's passing away caused many world leaders and officials to express or send messages of condolences to the Iranian officials in nation. Javier Perez de Coya, then UN Secretary General, attended the Iranian mission in New York and extended his condolences to the Iranian people. The Imam's passing away also topped the world media. German famous magazine Der Spiegel wrote, "It was only Imam Khomeini who has been admitted even by his enemies to lead a simple and humble life away from worldly desires and luxuries. And there was not the smallest black spot in his life." Radio Moscow said, "A man has departed the world who aroused the Iranian people for struggle against the royal rule and ended 2,500-year kingdom in Iran." With Imam Khomeini's passing away, thousands of mourning ceremonies and gatherings were held all over Iran and many countries, including Sri Lanka, Philippines, Brunei, Malaysia, Indonesia, South Korea, North Korea, China, Japan, Pakistan, India, Afghanistan, Turkey, and almost all Arab countries. Yet, on the other side, it was the enemies of the Iranian nation and the Islamic Revolution who had kept monitoring Iran's events to set the ground for political instability after the Imam's departure. The British Queen-sponsored news agency BBC said that the demise of Imam Khomeini has caused a vacuum in the leadership of Iran which can hardly be filled. Voice of America, too, announced with indescribable joy that the demise of Ayatollah will lead to a big instability in Iran, as some predict that the event will likely ignite a civil war in the country. The bloodthirsty terrorist grouplet, MKO, also was making the preparations of a military attack to topple the Islamic Republic. The ousted NSKP president, Abul Hassan Bani Sadr, had also got prepared to return to the country and take power. This wishful thinking was announced on the Zionist-controlled media giant, Associated Press, that Ayatollah Khomeini's death has made it likely for Bani Sadr to soon return to Iran and probably enter the government. All these illusions were ended with the announcement of Ayatollah Khamenei as the successor of Imam Khomeini by the Assembly of Experts a few hours after the burial of Imam Khomeini.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints
همه با وجود قده سرطانی اسرائیل مخالفیم
All of us are opposed to the cancerous tumor Israel
وجه مشترک همه وحدت امت اسلامی.
Unity of Islamic Ummah is the aspect that all of Islamic denominations have in common.
This is a part of the speech delivered by Imam Khamenei, the leader of the Islamic Revolution, on October 3rd, 2022, during the joint graduation ceremony for the cadets studying in the academies of the Islamic Republic of Iran's armed forces. The ceremony was held in Imam Hassan al-Mushtaba alayhi salam University of Office and Police Training. These riots had been planned. If the incident with the young girl had not taken place, they have found another excuse to create insecurity and riots in the country in the beginning of the month of May, September, this year. It is clearly the work of none other than the spy agencies and malicious foreign politicians. They can see the movement toward progress which is accelerating in the country. This is the fact. In all areas, an accelerating movement can be seen and felt. They can see and feel this as well. They do not want this to happen. They can see that factories that have been almost shut down have started operating again. They can see knowledge-based companies working. They can see advanced protection day by day in some sectors. They can see things being done that can neutralize the effects of the sanctions, which is currently the enemy's only weapon. They can see these things.
دنیای اسلام یک نسخه امروز دارد و اون اتحاد.
The world of Islam has one single prescription today, and that is unity. This prescription exists in all Islamic countries. Nations should be united.
In order to stop this progress, they are making plans. They have plans for universities and plans for the streets. They have made plans. They have designed plans to close down the universities, for the youth to be preoccupied, for the state officials to have new things to deal with, and to create issues in the northwest and southeast of the country. These are all preoccupying. These are all schemes being made and carried out to stall the country's progressive movement. But they are mistaken about both the northwest and the southeast. I've lived with the Baluch people. They are some of the most loyal ethnicities of the Islamic Revolution and the Islamic Republic. The Kurds are one of the most advanced Iranian ethnicities. They care about their homeland, they care about Islam, and they care about the Islamic system. The enemy's schemes will not work, but they work on them anyway. These things show the enemy's true intentions. This is the enemy that claims in its diplomatic statements that they do not want to attack Iran. They do not want to change the system of the Islamic Republic. They are not our enemies, and they are with the people of Iran. The inner reality of that enemy is what we are seeing. The inner reality of this enemy is conspiracy, creating riots, disrupting the safety of the country, and exciting those who can be easily excited to go into the streets. This is the enemy's inner reality.
Allah, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for all the things that you've done. You've done for me through all.
Of Jalali, Tehran.
Rubashavit, Gaza.
Jerome Hughes, Brussels.
Saeed Poreza, London.
Rasha Saglam, Istanbul.
Saeed Aminolemi, Kabul.
Shahana Bhatt, Indian Administered Kashmir.
Round the World with Reporters.
Creating a world where untold stories are told and unheard voices are heard. The annual IRIB World Service News Awards, dubbed SOAP Media Festival, this year had a lot to celebrate.
It's been a few years that the dynamics are changing and the new world order is emerging. The unipolar world is now turning into a multipolar world. Iran is in a position where it can speed up this process and offer a third viewpoint different from the two narratives that have always existed.
Words that clarify the mission of IRIB World Service. And this is exactly why the Arabic news channel Al Alam swept the IRIB World Service News Awards, taking home wins in nearly every major category, with its sister channel Al Alam Syria TV maintaining frontrunner status with its popular talk show Zoom Room.
We are proud to be able to gain a strong foothold in Syria and West Asia in particular by shedding light on the truth and covering stories that are untold about people who have been misrepresented.
I've been with Al Alam for more than 8 years now. I have hosted many TV programs. It's great to be part of a team where the goal is to bring truth to light.
Meanwhile, the Spanish-language news channel Hispan TV, as well as Press TV, were seen as the gold standard of achievement in the television community, winning awards in different sections, including the Best Documentary and the Best News Website. Not to mention that Press TV's Palestine Declassified won the Best Political TV Show.
This is the moment we're in. We're in the end, the dying throes of US hegemony. And as he was saying, I very much agree with, the cultural infrastructure for the ending of hegemony has to be put in place, and that involves media, including news and journalism, which can give a different view on how the world is operating and tell more of the truth about the world. So, you know, the media play a central, important role in all that.
Press TV correspondent Johnny Miller, who has covered the most difficult news stories, including the Rohingya crisis and the developments in Ukraine over the past year, was not left out.
I think two of my heroes, Noam Chomsky and John Pilger, said that they've never seen as much propaganda in the war in Ukraine than in any war that they've reported on or written about, and they've reported right back from Vietnam. So that's telling you a lot, and there's a huge amount of propaganda on Ukraine. Indeed, Ukraine is it's a civil war, but it's also a proxy war between Russia and NATO. And I think we're seeing the beginning of this split between the West and the East, China, Russia, Iran. And we're seeing a challenge to American hegemony and indeed the creation of this new multipolar world.
And according to the head of the Islamic Republic of Iran Broadcasting, IRIB World Service is at the forefront of this propaganda war.
In this unequal war, where IRIB World Service has none of the advantages of mainstream media, from state-of-the-art technology to political support, it has been able to blaze a new trail. The fact that its news channels are frequently banned on different social media platforms is testimony to that. Meanwhile, this also proves in practice that the free flow of information and free speech are nothing more than slogans that are used as political tools by advocates of democracy.
Media play a key role in today's world. They can set the tone for diplomatic endeavors, and they are a tool of international communication. Particularly for the Islamic Republic of Iran, its media outlet can pave the way for diplomacy.
That is why there are great expectations, which means that so far, IRIB World Service has been able to deliver on its responsibilities.
In a world where mainstream media is setting the narrative, IRIB World Service has been able to break the monopoly and offer a new perspective. Gisumish Ahmadi, Tehran.
South Koreans opposed to upcoming joint U.S.-South Korea military exercises took their message to the presidential office. They worry the largest such drills in almost 5 years could lead to direct conflict.
Where did all the efforts for dialogue for each other go? We must stop the terrible threat that will actually lead to the devastation of nuclear war. We have to stop.